isn't it? That is good. That was a holy night. Stars was bright, brother. They say, I don't know that for sure. Amen. What a blessing. I want to thank God for the privilege of going to church at Christmas time. The best Christmas you'll ever have is that one right after you get saved, and or while you're saved and loving the Lord and serving God. Now, I want to invite you back to service tonight. Our children's Christmas play will be at 6 o'clock this evening. So you be sure and be here. Bring somebody with you. And, of course, Wednesday night, Saturday morning, our bus meeting at 9:30. Now, we have full schedule of services right on through the holidays, right on through. New Year's Eve watch night service, we're going to have 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve. Brother Brandon Bruce, Lord willing, is coming up from Alabama, the pastor in Alabama, coming to be with us. And I think Brother Randy Kivett's bringing some folks up. Kevin, Jack, a lot of those preachers are bringing groups up to our watch night service. So that's a good way to see out the old year and in the new. Okay? Now this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and open to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Let me get wired up here this morning. And we're going to bring you a message this morning about the Lord and His incarnation. And you've heard me say many times before, Jesus Christ at Bethlehem was not a new person created. He was a pre-existent person incarnated. There's a big difference in that. In other words, He didn't begin at Bethlehem. He always was. He just took on a body at Bethlehem. Isn't that something? No other man has ever been on this earth like Jesus, and no other man has affected this world like Jesus. Brother Derek brought up the point in Sunday school, there's the argument about could Christ have sinned? It's one of those they try to trick you with questions like that. Like, can God make a rock so big He can't move it, you know? Stuff like that. Being God, He could not have sinned. He was all God and all man. And I thank God that He was. There's some parts of that we can't understand. The Bible calls it a mystery. And if you have a Savior that you can understand, He may not be much bigger than you are. But there's some things about it we don't understand, we accept by faith. But let's look at this prophecy of Jesus Christ in Psalm 69. There's a lot of prophecy in the Psalms. Don't ever think the Psalms are just poems and songs. There's prophecy in the Psalms. David was a prophet. Psalm 69 and verse 8. Look at this. And this is David speaking about himself, but it's prophetically speaking of Jesus Christ. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. The next verse talking about Christ. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Look at that. Isn't that something? David speaking of himself, but we see a double application of the Scripture going far beyond and applying to Jesus Christ and His life. He said, I was stranger to my brethren. The Bible puts it like this. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. So I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the subject, stranger among us. The Bible said that He was a stranger, and He came to His own, and His own received Him not. 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, a stranger showed up. You know, like in the old Western movies, stranger comes into town, everybody stares at him. Who's that? I ain't never seen that horse before. Everybody looking at, whoa, stranger in town. They'll go in the saloon, tell Marshal Dillon, Barney, whoever's in there, stranger's in town. Did you know that? Isn't that something? Buddy, let me tell you something. There's been over close to 7 billion people born on this planet since Adam and Eve first had their first child. This was the strangest one. Nobody has ever affected this world like that one man and one birth on this earth. I'm so glad this morning that I get to stand here and talk about somebody who has had a greater effect on this planet than anybody who's ever lived or ever will live. Stranger among us. I will say a few things about it this morning, about the stranger. Somebody said he was persecuted, but yet he brought freedom. He was dead, and he brought us life. He's risen and gives us power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. Armies can't defeat him. Schools can't explain him. And leaders cannot ignore him. Herod could not kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. The people could not hold him. Nero could not crush him. Hip couldn't silence him. The New Age can't replace him. And Oprah can't explain him away. He's light. He's love. He's longevity. He's Lord. He's goodness. He's kindness. He's gentleness. He's God. He's holy. He's righteous. He's mighty. He's powerful and pure. They said his ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging. And his mind is on me. He's my Savior. He's my guide. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's my Lord. He's my ruler of my life. Amen. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he's with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. And thank God, when I face death, he'll take care of me and carry me home. There ain't nobody like him. There's never been a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. You know, I've noticed this week, as I go to the hospital all the time, but I spent an extra lot of time this week in the hospital since we've had Mom up there. And you know, my mom's laying there. The other day, I said, "Mom, you remember when you got saved?" I said, "How old was you, Mom?" She said, 23. And I said, she got saved, I think, the little Methodist church up there in Marion, or one of those churches out there. I can't remember which one. And I began to talk to her about it. You know what I saw? I saw when it comes time for us to die, when it comes time, what's important is not how your hair looked, or you know what kind of ring you wore, or what kind of shoes you had on your car. All that's important is when you got saved and having that thing nailed down, because that's where you're going to go into eternity. Somebody said he is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, and every way. He's God. Faithful. I'm his and he's mine. My Father in heaven can whip the father of this world. So if you're understanding why I feel so secure, understand this. God said it, that settles it. He's in control and I'm on his side. And that means all is well with my soul. Every day is a blessing from God. Amen. I'm telling you, I serve him because his bond is love. His burden is light and his goal for me is abundant life. I follow him because he's the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the Ancient of Days, the ruler of the rulers, the leader of the leaders, the overseer of the overseers, and who is to come of all the things that have been. And if that seems impressive to you, listen to this. His goal is to have fellowship with you and I. He'll never leave me, never forsake me, never mislead me, never forget me, never overlook me, never cancel my appointment with him and his appointment book. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives me. When I'm weak, he's strong. When I'm lost, he's the way. When I'm afraid, he's my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. I mean, how are you going to beat that, people? How are you going to get a friend better than Jesus? He was a stranger to this world, but to you and I, he's our best friend. I want to say a few things about it this morning. I want to say his desire was strange. Nobody had ever come into this world with a desire like Jesus Christ. His desire was strange. He had a love for sinners. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Buddha never said anything like that. Muhammad never said anything like that. They never come, "I'm come to seek that which is lost." They just come to see, "I can get all the people to do it, follow me, and I can get wealth, and I can build synagogues and buildings." Jesus said, "I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. I was singing about my buddy that was here a minute ago that sang that special for us here just a minute ago. You know, those he has a pretty hard time. All these folks that come on our bus, he's not in here right now, that has a hard time. You know what? If Jesus Christ was here in the flesh today, he'd sit right down beside that guy and talk to him. You mark it down. You might be too religious. You might think you're too good. You might think you smell better. But I'm telling you, if Jesus come to seek and to save that which is lost, I thank God for that. I thank God for it. There's a lot of people wouldn't have nothing to do with me, but He would. Thank God He would. There's a lot of people wouldn't have nothing to do with you, but He would. His desire was strange. He come to love sinners. He come to lift their sentence. I remember that story over there in the Bible where they brought this woman who had committed adultery, and they brought her down and threw her before the Lord. In a lot of countries, she would die. In the Old Testament, she would die. But the Lord looked down at her and He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He lift their sentence. You know, they're talking the other day on the news about the president. Before the president goes out of office, he has a right to pardon. I don't know how many people, a bunch of people. And he can pardon, no matter who it is, or I don't guess. He can just write them a pardon and get them out of prison. That's a custom that presidents have. But I'm glad this morning, brother, that Jesus signed my pardon. I'm glad that He did it for me, and He did it for you. Amen? His desire was strange. But let me say, secondly, this morning, His doctrine was strange. Nobody ever come talking like He talked about His person, about His power, and about His plan. Let's see what Jesus said about His person. They come to Him one day in John chapter 10, and they said, "What do you think you're doing? Who's your father?" He said, "I and my Father are one." They said, "What?" He said, "I and my Father are one." They said, "Now, wait a minute. Who is your Father?" He said, the one you're always talking about being your God, that's my Father." They said, "That ain't right. You mean to tell me you're saying you're equal with God?" He said, "I and my Father are one." Nobody ever said that. There's not a person in this world who walked out on the scene in the right mind and said, "I'm equal with God. He's my Father, and I'm Him, and He's me." His doctrine was strange. You know, there was one time he was talking to him, and they said, "Wait a minute." He's talking about Abraham. They said, "You ain't even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And they said, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." They said, "What?" He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." They say, "They mean, you mean you was before he was?" "No, before he was, I am." "You mean you was before him?" "No, I didn't say before he was, I was. I said before he is, I is." Or something like that. Amen? That's right, brother. He said, "I am." And you know what they got mad about? He took the divine title and applied it to himself. That's what they got mad. That's why they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him because God was the I am. Nobody was I am except God Almighty. And Jesus took the divine title of God Almighty and said, "I am. I wasn't was. I ain't going to be. I just am. If you look at me in 2000 AD, I am. If you look at me in 2000 BC, I am. And if you look at me before creation, I am. I wasn't was. I ain't going to be. I'm always in the present. I am." His doctrine was strange. That's strange, buddy. That's strange. You couldn't figure that out. I'm telling you, not only that, his power of his doctrine was strange. He told him in Matthew 28:18, "All power is given to me." He said, "I've got all power." Buddha never claimed that. Muhammad never said, I can do anything. I have all power. Ladies and gentlemen, his doctrine was strange. In his infancy, he was just a little baby born in Bethlehem. He knew who he was. He knew growing up who he was. He knew all his life that what he was going to do. He knew when he started his plan that his plan was to die on the cross for our sin. He knew that was his plan, ladies and gentlemen. His plan and his doctrine was strange. Listen to this. He got a group of men together and he said, "I'm going away." They said, "Where are you going?" He said, I'm going back where I came from. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Yeah. And they said, what? Why are you going to leave us? I thought we was going to set up the kingdom, run the Romans out of business, and we was going to take over the world. He said, oh, no, boys. You jumped the gun a little bit. He said, a lot's got to happen before then. I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place. And then I'm going to come back and get you. And they said, oh, Lord, we don't understand that. He said, you don't understand it all now, but I'm telling you that's what's going to happen. His plan was strange. And see, when he was a little baby, we see him there at 12 years of age. There's no record of him from his baby till he's 12. And then there's no record of him from the time he's 12 till he was 30. But the Bible tells you what happened during his life. I tell you this about every Christmas, and I love to hear preachers tell it. I love to hear a preacher say it. I don't do it all the same every time. But they said when he was 12 years old, he was sitting in the temple. And here was old Dr. So-and-so. And here was scribe so-and-so. And here was scribe so-and-so. And they were amazed. Now imagine all these Jewish rabbis look just like they do in the Christmas play. I mean, with his hat, with them thing on, Urim and Thummim on their chest, robes on. I mean, a crown on, and here they stand around a 12-year-old boy. And this little boy is asking them questions. And they can't even answer them. It'd be like today, if you had the Pope, and you had Billy Graham, and it was on TV. There's a strange kid in town, and it showed on TV. And it said, as they say, all these religious figures, are you smarter than a 12-year-old, you know, or something like that. And it'd be on TV, and they'd make a special out of it, and here's Jesus Christ standing here. And finally one of them looked at him and said, now, we know you're a little bit different. They said, what's your name? And the old saying said that he looked at them doctors, and he said, on my mother's side, he said, my name is Jesus. But he said, on my father's side, my name is Emmanuel, the wonderful God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting. And they struck their head and said, I ain't never heard nobody say nothing like that in my life. The kid said, on his mother's side, it's Jesus. On his father's side, well, I thought you both had the same name. And they said, where are you from? And he looked at him and he said, well, on my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem, of Judea. But on my father's side, I came from the portals of glory, stepped out of heaven, and stepped out on this earth. And I came down here, and they was going, oh my goodness, I don't understand how. You know why they couldn't understand it? Because he was God, and he was man. He was all wrapped up in one. He's our Savior today. Hallelujah. His doctrine was strange. They said, son, how old are you? He said, on my mother's side, I'm 12. But on my father's side, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. Never had no beginning. Never had no ending. And they said, whoa, check this kid out. And they were scratching their head. I'm telling you, his doctrine was strange. Can you imagine? They said, son, I don't know if it's that. What's your plans? Well, on my mother's side, I'm going to get killed and die on the cross. But on my father's side, I'm popping back up 3 days later, and we're going to run the whole shebang one of these days. Amen? Shebang's a good Greek word that you don't, young educated people don't know. But I tell you what, brother, listen, it means this. It means, I'm telling you, brother, his doctrine was strange. But let me say thirdly this morning, ladies and gentlemen, his demand was strange. He had some demands that Buddha, and you know what he demanded? He demands your service. He said, if you don't believe on me, you can't go to heaven when you die. All these people, including politicians, you know, one of the politicians got in trouble the other day because they said Mitt Romney, who is a Mormon, practicing Mormon, and one of the politicians, I think it was old Huckabee, one of them said, how in the world could we have a president named Huckabee that everybody would take serious, you know? Old President Huckabee. But, I mean, as far as I know, he's a fine fella. He seemed like it. But anyway, one of them criticized Romney because he said that the Mormon church believed that Jesus and the devil was brothers. And all them, they splashed out all of the news and said he blasphemed. He finally had to apologize for saying that. But the truth is this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the Mormon church does believe that Jesus and the devil's brother. They really do. They believe they were brothers and split out, and that Jesus and Satan were like this, and one of them split out like that. They got the wrong Jesus. They have the wrong Jesus. He may be a fine man, fine morals, and if he'd run this country right and do right, I'd vote for him. You might not. I'd rather have him than others. I'd rather have a straight Mormon as a crooked Baptist. Say amen right there. I mean, if he'll do what's right, I don't care. I wouldn't care if he's an atheist, if he'd done his job. We're not voting him in as pastor. But I'm going to tell you something. That might not sit too well with some of you. But I'm telling you this morning, brother, listen, his demand was, you believe on me or you're not going to heaven when you die. That's very exclusive is the modern word. Jesus was not politically correct. Jesus did not get up there and say, now as long as you're sincere, follow your religion, and we're all going to wind up in the same place. He said, you either believe on me or you ain't going. He said, I am the door, not I am a door. He said, I am the way, not I am a way. He was very, very narrow. And he was very dogmatic about saying, I am the way. I don't understand people that get on the news and they say, I mean, why didn't somebody on the news, CBS or Fox or somebody, just check it out and see what they believed? Why? Nobody said, oh, I can't believe he said Jesus and Satan was the devil. He ought to, or there's brothers, he ought to apologize. He ought to tell them he's sorry. He ought to tell them, he ought to bow down and ask forgiveness. Well, check it out. Somebody should have checked it out. I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, he was not the devil's brother. He's the devil's enemy. The devil is God's enemy. Jesus said, I am the way. He said one time, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you ain't got no life in you. Buddha never said nothing like that. When you read this Bible, you're partaking of his flesh. When you believe on his blood, you're drinking it in. You got to eat that flesh, drink that blood, or you have no life in you. When we take the Lord's Supper, that's a picture of what we're doing spiritually in our heart. His demand was strange. You know what the Lord said one time? He said one time, he said, you got to love me more than you love your father and mother. Isn't that something? That's a strange demand. Can you imagine a religious leader jumping up and saying, you got to love me more than your father and mother? But you do. You say, well, that's not right. Oh, yes, it is. The old timers used to say, if mama don't go, it won't hinder me. If mama don't go, it won't hinder me. If mama don't go, it won't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise God. And that's what the Lord meant. The Lord meant, if my daddy don't serve him, I'll serve him anyway. Amen. If my sister don't, I'll serve him anyway. Make up your mind this morning. You hope your whole family goes with you. But if they won't, you're going to do right and serve God anyway. Amen. Amen. Say amen, people.
Amen.
Some of y'all are a little... I got some of you do real good on amens, and some of you are way slack. We're going to pray amen practice right now. I'm sick of it. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you, listen, honey, I love my family, but I'm not going to help my family. I love my family, but if all my family said, Danny, we're going to become... we're going to become Muslims. And we're going to do that. And I'd say, I love you. I can't stand the thoughts of not being around you, but I got to stay with him. You love him more than father or mother. His demand was strange. Not only that, his death was strange. Nobody ever died like him. Did you know there's never been anybody die with the circumstances around it like Jesus died? Oh, no, they make movies and stuff happen, you know. And I've heard of people dying, the lights went out and stuff like that. And dogs screamed and stuff. I don't know, the demons went in them or something. But his death was strange. The words that were spoken. Have you ever heard anybody right before they die say, I didn't want to say that bad. Even when he was dying, he was thinking of somebody else. You know, Mom was up there in the hospital yesterday. And I'm telling you, folks, it was all evening yesterday. We thought she was going to heaven. And I came in, I'd been out somewhere, and you know it was raining, the old cold weather, and I put my hand on her neck like that and said, "Mom, you all right?" She said, "Ooh, your hands are freezing." She said, "You need a coat on, son. You need a hat." And I thought, she's laying there dying, worrying about me having a hat. Debbie, my sister, was taking care of her, and she's saying, "Debbie, you can't lift me. You can't do that." She's always worried about us. And I thought, boy, if that ain't a picture of Jesus Christ. While he was dying, people, when they put nails through his hands and a crown of thorns on his head and he was bleeding, you know what he said? "Father, forgive these people. Lord, not Lord, get this thorn out of my head. Lord, kill them. Look what they've done to me. Lord, I'm hurting. Lord," it was, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Thank God he thought about me." I'm glad to say this morning, like that song said, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Hallelujah. His thing about y'all kids, when he's dying on the cross, they said this guy went to the Holy Land one time and he came back and he brought back to his pastor. And he brought back to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, I hate you didn't get to go on the trip, but," he said, "I brought you something." And he said, "When we went to Calvary, when I saw where Jesus died, they were selling little souvenirs and stuff like that. And I picked up this little souvenir. I just wanted you to know I was thinking about you while I was there." And the pastor took that thing and built a sermon on it. He said, he got up, sonny. He said, "So-and-so said he's thinking about me when he's at Calvary." He said, "I'm glad another one was thinking about me when he's at Calvary." Ain't you glad of that? Ain't you glad, brother, when he was on the cross, he was on his mind? I'm telling you, his death was strange. Then the wonders, look, think about the wonders that we're seeing. Darkness. Have you ever heard of anybody dying and it coming an earthquake when they died and the sun got black? Lord have mercy. Now, some people died right when it come an earthquake. No, I mean, you know, that's bound to have happened to somebody. But there's never been a man die that the sun went out and it got real dark, and then as soon as he died, the earth goes, and dead people pop up out of graves and later on start walking around town. His death was strange. Nobody ever died like that. Nobody ever seen wonders and graves open and is finished like he did. Not only that, his disappearance was strange. His disappearance was strange. Notice the promise of the Savior. He said, "I'm going after he rose from the dead and I'm coming back." Then he's standing around like this one day. He said, "All right now, you guys go preach the gospel and you guys go tell everybody." And then all of a sudden he starts going. Anybody ever done that? And they're standing around like this right here saying, "Oh my goodness, where'd he go?" His death was strange. His disappearance was strange. They looked up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And he said, "I'm coming back." Listen, and the angel stepped out and said, "What are you guys standing around for? Go to Walmart and give out tracts. Tell the good news. Tell the good news. This same Jesus that you've seen go away shall in like manner come again as you have seen him go." Nobody ever went like that. Elijah went up in a chariot of fire, but God had to take him. God took Enoch and he walked with God. He was not, for God took him. Jesus just standing there talking to us and goes, "Phew." They've been trying to do that ever since. Rocket Man, Superman, Spider Man, but he did it on his own power. His disappearance was strange. Lastly, I'll say this morning, I'm through. His descent will be strange when he comes back. Notice his promise, "I'll come again." Nobody else ever said that. Notice his plan, "I'll carry you all to heaven." Notice his peace, 1,000 years. His descent will be strange. One of these days we'll be walking around like this. Maybe I'll be preaching, I don't know. Hope so, that'd be nice. And you'll be just praying, reading your Bible. Or you'll be on your way to work, sitting in front of that old machine, punching that time clock, out in the yard, mowing the grass, cleaning the house. You'll be doing something, and you're going to hear a voice. And that voice is going to say, "Come up hither!" But it's going to be your name. I'll say, "Danny, come up hither. It'll say, whatever your name is, come up hither. And he's going to come down from God, and he's coming in the clouds. And when you hear your name, you're going to go up like this in the sky. And so shall you ever be the Lord. That's strange. That's strange. The world can't get it. The world can't figure it out. Thank God the world can't take it away. That's strange. When you really think about it, I'll never forget up at Nebo when I first heard people talk about the rapture. I knew the Lord is coming back, but I didn't know about the rapture and before the tribulation and all that kind of stuff. And we're sitting in training union. If you've ever been to a Southern Baptist church, they have training union on Sunday evening, which is like a Sunday school class before the Sunday evening service. And it was really a good thing. And I mean, I was sitting in training union. And they was all sitting around, they was talking about the Lord coming back. And they said, now what's going to happen is our bodies, the molecules in our bodies, will agree with the molecules in the ceiling and will pass through the ceiling. I said, what? I always thought he's just going to come back and blow everything up. Some going to heaven, some going to hell, and that's it. I didn't know he was going to in a secret, quiet rapture like that. And boy, I'm telling you, I said, where'd this come from? They said, oh yeah. You could be sitting here right now and just all of a sudden vanish. And then I got a hold of that movie somebody put out, Thief in the Night and all that. I said, oh my goodness. Any day now, just any day, any time, right now, driving down the road, writing a paper at school, reading your Bible, praying, sleep, wherever, he's going to come. And we'll go meet him just like that. I mean, that could happen today. That could happen today, man. His descent will be strange. He's a stranger among us. Now, I'll say this this morning and I'm through. There's two kinds of people in this room. Them that's saved, ready to meet the Lord, and them that's not. That's only two classes they are. It ain't rich, poor, little, black, white, skinny, ugly, fat, mean, good. It's saved and lost. Saved and lost. Are you saved? Has the Lord come right now? Girls, are you sure you'd go with Him? If Jesus come right now, are you positive? All this other stuff happened was strange. His descent will be strange. Girls, boys, it ain't going to matter who's popular at school, boyfriend, girlfriend. All that stuff ain't going to matter. If the Lord came right now, all that matters is if you're ready to meet Him. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Nobody's moving. No one's talking. Every head bowed and every eyes closed.